check. Once again on the microphone, the double X chromosome come to hit you hard with an overdose of estrogen. Yeah. See what they're representing for the feminine. Movement of resistance, you hear it in my linguistics, the fuses of sedition. So turn it up because I bring...
Lady Fest Upstate is a three-day community-based, not-for-profit global music and arts festival that presents the work of women and transgender non-conforming, or GNC, artists. The festival will take place in Albany at Grand Street Community Arts and... No, that's okay. All right. And the Linda, right?
Yeah.
You will be at the Linda.
Yeah, at the Linda.
Okay. From May 3rd through the 5th, 2013. Here to tell us more and to get all of our facts straight, we welcome Sean Desiree, the lead organizer of Lady Fest Upstate and feminist hip hop artist. See what say, right?
Yes,
thank you very much. And was that you we were just listening to?
That was me.
You're awesome. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome for welcome to the program, and thank you very much for being here. Sean, how did this all come to be?
Well, I've been to several Lady Fests, like just performing, doing my own music, one in Germany and one in Bellingham, Washington. And I was like, why not have one here? So I just started meeting with a couple of friends, like, we should start doing this. So we started planning probably about 8 months ago or even more, thinking about this idea.
And ultimately, what do you accomplish over the 3 days?
Over the 3 days, we accomplished high visibility of women, trans, and gender nonconforming artists, accomplished creating and fostering a sense of community among people, and supporting artists, and also motivating artists to actually do their work or finish the work, the products they never finished. You know, so it's like, there's so many layers to it. And also getting the public out to, you know, these events and becoming aware of, like, these local artists and people, you know, nationwide.
And we learn about the power of art and media as being an agent of change.
Yes.
We can change things.
Yes, for sure. I think people are more receptive to art and music in certain ways. Like, we are all trained to consume media, like, to an utmost degree. You know, so just having music and art that's actually speaking about something or representing a group of people is, like, very powerful and very valuable within our culture.
How did Siwat say become part of the... I'll hear your story and then I'll ask.
Yeah. Well, it started, was it like 2 years ago?
Two summers ago.
Yeah, we met through randomly, like, these people asked my group and her to do like a performance group.
Like an exchange. It was more like a...
Yeah. So we went to Germany. They brought us all out to Germany, and we actually met her in Germany, and we did a youth program with kids making a theater project, and they wanted to incorporate hip-hop into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so right after that project, we also did a tour together in Germany. So that's how we met. And my other band members, Victoria, was like, oh, we should have Siwatse definitely come to Lady Fest. So we're just, like, figuring that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how did you get involved in this originally? Not in this project, but in hip hop and music. Was that always what you wanted to do?
Well, I grew up with three other brothers in a very post colonized traditional Mexican home, right? And
mm-hmm.
so, in those types of spaces, it's difficult. Just even being heard or having any, like, having your word carry any kind of weight, right? Due to colonization and so for me it was very important growing up to have something to say and to, like, to make sure that people are listening. And so that's why I picked up a mic. That's one of many things that I do, though.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
A home base for you is where?
Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yes.
And so when you say there's lots of other things that you do professionally,
right? I work
and
with
artistically.
I work with runaway homeless youth at a shelter.
And the two intersect a lot, I assume.
Exactly. Right.
Because I would assume that is a way for you to identify and to communicate with that population as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's important for activists as we get older to ensure that we are passing down the torch, right? That that we do have or that we are creating spaces like Lady Fest to engage the younger generation and to make sure that there's somebody there to continue on with the work, right?
Yeah. And is it how much different in your work with these at-risk populations? How much different is it for? I mean, there are obviously parallels. There are obviously the many of the same issues for boys and there are for girls. But also there's many differences. And like when you have this something like Lady Fest, you're really honing in on the issues specifically to girls and women.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Well, I think it crosses both because in a lot of areas, women aren't represented. You know. So I feel like it's an opportunity for like boys or men to also see women in this light,
right.
To see young girls in this light doing this music. So I think it's valuable for both to
because there's an inherent feminism within the music that you're presenting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I assume that's I mean, how much of that this is and this is an impossible question to answer, so I'll ask it anyway. but what I would assume that some of that is conscious and some of that is subconscious. Some of that is just a byproduct of who you are,
right?
The feminism within the music.
Yes, yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. So, what was the question?
Well, meaning, how much of it? Well, I was asking that's why with the impossible part, how much of it is, you know, how much of it is conscious, a decision of, say, I want this to be too feminist in nature, and how much of it is, well, this is just me.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that it's completely, well, for me, my music is very much a reaction to how I grew up and to everything around me, right? And wanting to also... make sure that younger women or women identified or gender nonconforming youth see or have something to or have someone that they could relate to, right? Some kind of message that's out there that speaks to them in a certain type of way that mainstream media doesn't, right?
I think it's something that is within you. But I also think it's a decision. Like, you have to make that decision of what if you're going to speak about this stuff. Because I feel like a lot of, especially mainstream artists, like, a lot of them must be conscious about something, you know? And it's like, the decision to not talk about it is also a decision you make
That's
in order to, like, maybe sell more records or whatever, you know, just to fit into what's going on.
Right. That's a great point.
Why do you think that the artists that will be a part of this, the artists that you identify with are so underground and underrepresented by the media? I mean, because part of it, and I don't want to answer the question for you, but it would seem to me that the part of it is the nonconformist part, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So why don't you think that there can be more of a spotlight on what it is that you do?
Because we're living in a very white supremacist system, and therefore, you know, I mean, I think like it's very strategic what they do and what media puts out there and the type of messages that our youth are being bombarded with, as opposed to those that are not, right? As opposed to that which is kept underground, right? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I feel like people are going to stick with what they feel comfortable with, and so. Like, the media is only going to reflect society and what's actually happening, you know? So just, I don't know how to, like, really express it. I think it has everything to do with, like, white supremacy. And all throughout music, creating the standard of, like, what is music, what is good music is, like, definitely... Especially when people are creating a non-traditional, whatever, you know, because... I remember, like, growing up, like, what is considered music is classical music, you know? Mm-hmm. If you don't have if you don't acquire that taste, it's sort of like you're not of the elite or, like, of a certain character, you know? I feel like it's very strategic what is seen as music in general. Because a lot of times hip-hop is not even seen as music. You know, people can't relate to it, or people are like, oh, this doesn't follow some sort of, like, form of, like, music characteristics. So it's just, like, even the debate of, like, what is music, what is not music.
Yeah. But given the popularity of hip-hop, given the popularity of music within these cultures, I mean, that signals a change, doesn't it?
What...
Not when the messages are the same type of, like, have the same type of misogyny as...
Right. It's like, yeah, what is the mainstream?
Which is, like, startling.
I mean, because it's coming from black and brown people. I mean, like, when you really look at it, the Beatles had horrible... you know, misogynistic type of messages, and so did the Rolling Stones. But like, why was that not horrifying because they're white? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's really look at the music and be honest about it. Misogyny has always existed, you know, throughout history, and hip hop, you know, did not begin it. And
well, of course not, know. but it still doesn't make it right.
Of course not.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like it falls into like mainstream media and what they're putting out there.
Exactly.
There's tons of artists making like, you know, really
right.
like progressive, like, you know,
who controls the record labels, who controls
right.
the radio stations that are putting this stuff out there. It's not people of color, I'm gonna tell you right now. It's
yeah.
white people. So let's look at that too.
So what do you want to in the minute we have left, what are you hoping to accomplish at Ladyfest?
I'm just happy that it's actually happening. I'm like, what I hope to accomplish is getting people to come out, getting artists to feel proud of their work, mm-hmm. and be able to have a space that they feel good about and sharing their work, and have a community of people that support this, that's, you know, want to see work from, you know, women, transgender, nonconforming artists. I hope to make it an annual event, you know, within our community. And
talk about the camp.
Oh, yeah. So, right. The profits from Ladyfest is going to go into developing a sort of like a girls rock camp for girls, trans and gender nonconforming youth. So it'll be a music summer camp starting in 2014. So that's where the money's going to. Just try to like cultivate.
And where would that be at?
That will be, not sure yet.
Yeah.
But the Other Room is doing it. They have a website. It's other-room.com.
And let me give this website out as well. It's ladyfestupstate.com to find out about the event happening in Albany this weekend. Ladyfestupstate.com. Thanks to you both for being here. Best of luck with your efforts.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.